Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Donald Trump is a controversial figure. Most people either love him or hate him. Christians either love him or hate him. Some Christians think his election is a sign of the end times. To some, he's a kind of Messiah. Stephen Powell, whom some charismatic Christians regard as a prophet, delivered a long prophecy in which he said, "I hear the Lord saying, this man is unstoppable because I'm unstoppable. My kingdom is unstoppable, and this man has a mandate from heaven. He has momentum that is not his own. His movement will not dissipate. It will grow, and it will reach beyond the borders of American governing. It will inspire. It will stir up a nest." One student of prophecy thinks the scriptures contain a clue that the election of Donald Trump signaled the end times. For after all, St. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Michelle Bachmann, formerly a congresswoman from the state of Minnesota, believes that God raised up Trump to attempt to stop globalists who would establish a world government and who would install the Antichrist. She said, "Scripture tells us that in the end times, that is what the Antichrist will be. He will be part of a one world system. There are people who reject Judeo-Christian truth and instead want to insert and usurp control of all our lives with a global economic and political government." The Reverend Jim Baker has said that mocking Trump is the spirit of Antichrist. Others, however, think Trump himself is the spirit of Antichrist. One commentator who holds a Master of Divinity degree from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary has written, "Note that I'm not saying he is the Antichrist. In fact, in the Christian tradition, there isn't even an agreement that there is necessarily one Antichrist who is the antitype of the Antichrists we otherwise find in Scripture and in the world. However, looking at Scripture, Donald Trump fits the description of an Antichrist, all the way down to the fact that Christians are supporting him." These Christians have one thing in common. They think that the end of the world is near. They do not understand the Scriptures, however. On the day of Pentecost, St. Peter preached a sermon in which he explained the last days. After Jesus rose from the dead, and before he ascended into heaven, he commanded his apostles not to leave Jerusalem. He told them, "Wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." On the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, the promise of the Father was fulfilled. 120 of Jesus' disciples were gathered together in a room, waiting as Jesus had commanded them. There was a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it looked like a flame rested on the head of each disciple. The Holy Spirit had come into the world in an unprecedented way, as Jesus had said, and as the Father had promised. Being full of the Spirit, The disciples were miraculously able to speak in languages they had never learned. As it was the time of the Feast of Pentecost, there were in Jerusalem on that day many thousands of Jews and proselytes from many lands. When they heard the sound like wind, they gathered to the place where the disciples were, and they heard them speaking in their various languages. They were amazed and said, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." They knew it was a miracle, but they did not know what it could mean. Some, it seems, did not hear a language they recognized, and seeing the great joy of the disciples, they concluded that they were babbling drunks. St. Peter explained everything to the crowd, and St. Luke has recorded the apostles' words. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Saint Peter assured the crowd that the disciples were not drunk, as it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, they were full of the Holy Spirit, and so great was the influence of the Spirit upon them that they were full of joy and praised the mighty works of God. St. Paul would later write to the Ephesians, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." What the crowd observed was nothing less than the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, so long awaited. Joel did not say that this would happen in the last days, that is, not in so many words. He did say, however, that it would happen before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And according to the prophet Isaiah, the day of the Lord would mark the end of the last days. So, St. Peter understood that the outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost marked the time as the last days spoken of by the prophets. The other apostles would later write the same thing in their epistles. So, St. John wrote, "Little children, it is the last time." St. Paul wrote to the Hebrews that God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Again, he wrote to the Corinthians about the failures of Israel, Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. St. Peter wrote in one of his epistles that Christ was manifest in these last times for you. The last days are not, as some suppose, the days leading up to the destruction of the world. They are rather the last days of the Mosaic dispensation, leading to the renewal of the world. Jesus, near the end of his earthly ministry, denounced the religious leaders of Israel and their great city of Jerusalem, and said to them, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Then he departed the temple. Once outside, his disciples pointed out to Jesus the temple's grandeur. Jesus was emphatic, however. He said to them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked him, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" The disciples did not ask him when his second advent would be. They had not yet even grasped that he had to die and to rise again, let alone that he would ascend to heaven and return. When Jesus had told them that he must go away, referring to his ascension, St. Peter asked him, "Lord, whither thou goest?" St. Peter did not understand. The disciples did not ask Jesus when would be his second advent. Rather, they asked Jesus when the temple would be destroyed and what would be the sign that he had come into his kingdom and that the present order of the world had come to an end. Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Jesus clearly stated that these things would take place in the lifetime of his contemporaries. At an earlier time, after St. Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said to his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." In the year of our Lord 70, the Roman army did in fact destroy the city of Jerusalem. However, it was Jesus who, in his great power as Lord of heaven and earth, who caused the destruction and wreaked vengeance upon his enemies. Jesus had indeed foretold it. On one occasion, when Jesus was near to the city of Jerusalem, he told of a nobleman who went to a far country to receive a kingdom. His own people hated him, however, and refused to recognize him as their king. When he returned to his land, having received the kingdom, he told his servants, "Those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me." On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit enabled the disciples of Jesus to speak languages they had never learned. He did this, of course, so that they might communicate with those who spoke the languages. However, there were other reasons. St. Paul explained to the Corinthians, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." The apostle here cites the prophet Isaiah. In that citation, Isaiah had prophesied judgment upon the wicked kingdom of Israel. God had tried, through the prophets, to move Israel to repentance, speaking to them in their own language, a language they could understand. They refused to repent, however. So God planned to send a pagan nation, a nation that spoke a language different from theirs, to destroy them, and still they would not listen. When the Jewish people heard on Pentecost the disciples speaking in other languages, they should have remembered the prophecy of Isaiah and understood that they would be judged for killing Christ. St. Peter reminded them that, although Joel's prophecy did foretell a coming judgment, it also promised that, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." There is another reason why the Spirit caused the disciples to speak in other languages. At the Tower of Babel, mankind refused to disperse across the globe as God had commanded them. So, God confused their languages, so they were compelled to disperse. Thus began the various nations of the world. And from these, God selected Abraham and formed a people for himself, the people of Israel. The coming of Christ brought an end to the Jewish era, and God has since joined Jew and Gentile into one body, the body of Christ. And Christ is, through his body, converting the nations and adding them to his body. The speaking in other languages at Pentecost is symbolic of the new unity of mankind in Christ. Jesus, in his Olivet Discourse, said, in reference to the destruction of Jerusalem, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Jesus did not speak of his return to earth from heaven. Rather, using the words of the prophet Daniel, he spoke of his ascension from earth to heaven to receive his kingdom. As the prophet Daniel said, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." The destruction of Jerusalem was the sign that Jesus had come into his kingdom. It was the sign that the Mosaic dispensation and Jewish exclusivity had come to an end, and that Jesus is Lord of all. It was the end of the old heavens and earth, and the beginning of the new heavens and earth. Through Isaiah the prophet, God said, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with him. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. This is the new heavens and new earth, which the Lord Jesus is bringing to be through his body, the church, by the power of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, St. Peter preached that they were in the last days, and that Joel's prophecy was being fulfilled before their eyes. This meant a soon end to the Mosaic dispensation of Jewish law and exclusivity, and a new heavens and a new earth in which all nations will confess Jesus is Lord. May we be grateful that God sent his Son into the world not to condemn it, but to save it. And may we do our part to fulfill the Great Commission, preaching the gospel and discipling the nations. And now to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons and one God, be ascribed by us and by the whole church as is most due, the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.